Hey, man, you be glad to know, man, I start playing the bass again.
That's great, man.
I'm loving it, man. It's kind of, it's a release for me.
Yeah, it is. It is very soothing when you get a chance to really play.
Yes, sir.
And hear those tones and those qualities.
Yes, sir. Yep, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. It's like a good therapy.
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing better is when William gets on and keeps me in line, keeps me inside the head, and gets me going.
Yeah, William would do that, boy.
He'll get you in line, man. That's what I like about it. Yeah.
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on, brothers?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Got Brother Tisdale here. Yeah. Hey, welcome back, Brother Tisdale. Thank you so much. We missed you, brother, over the last several weeks.
Well, man, I've been moving around. I'm glad that I'm back in this fold.
Well, I'm glad you are too. And the same with Dr. Demery. He's been out for a few weeks also. Glad to see you, my dear friend.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm happy, man.
No better group of people I'd rather be around than y'all.
Like, oh, man.
I was with the male chorus, I said, look, these are the kind of brothers I want to hang around with.
Yeah.
And you've always said that. Always, from day one, you've always said that. Hey,
yes,
man,
sir.
Appreciate you. I remember, man, speaking of those days back in the mail course, man, those were good times, brother.
Those were good days, man. Danny would come and sing with us, and his wife would be directing. Man, that was good times, but that was good times.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, man, I often say, you know, Brother Tisdale, I remember in the course, right, I'm back there with second tenor singing, and I'm singing along with the first tenors, and Sister Tisdale said, Brother Brown, come on down here. I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm her second tenor. She said, no, come on down here. And I had the pleasure of sitting right next to my good friend, Danny Tisdale. He taught me a lot.
Amen.
I really appreciate it. And Dr. Well, Demery, your support with the meal, of course, you're always there, bro. Always.
Enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, speaking of good times, man, these are natural times. These are things that's natural, you know. Brothers fellowshipping together, having a good time, laughing and joking and singing. And what you said about, Danny, about, music is therapy. You're 100% correct. Dr. Demery, you remember we've done shows on that.
Absolutely.
We've done shows on that. And you told a story, about how you visited someone. I'm not sure whether they had, what the situation was. But you went and you took your string bass to the hospital.
Yes, sir.
And you tuned it to a B flat, or was it a B flat?
Low B.
Okay. And it sparked something in the patient.
Alzheimer's patients, and when I drew my bow across my B string on low B, they kind of just like came to life. And they've found studies now that certain music tones, like Danny was saying, will stimulate certain parts of the brain. Drugs can't do it. Therapy can't do it. Nothing else can do it but music. And music touches that part of the brain. They think it's somewhere between the hypothalamus, which controls, you know, temperature in the body, and the medulla oblongata. And something in between that passage in there really stimulates the brain and gets them going.
Well, you know, it's something, a lot to be said about that. And we're going to get to the main topic in a minute, but I find this fascinating myself. And there was, as a matter of fact, both of you brothers, know this sister. She goes to New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. That's, Sister Deaconess Gill and Brother Deacon Mike Gill. Mike?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
And she told a story because we were talking about this on my, Gospel Explosion. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you love gospel music, tune in each and every Sunday right here to The Buzz. And we have what we call the Gospel Explosion. We can start about 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West. Hey, Danny, you get a break at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Anyway, we were playing great gospel music, and we got into this conversation about how music being healing. And she was telling me about one of her aunts. And that the aunt has Alzheimer's, I believe, or dementia, wanted to, and she hardly recognizes anyone. And she went on to say that when she goes to visit her, she always sings gospel music with her. And do you know that wakes the aunt up and she remembers the words to the song?
That's right.
It's absolutely amazing, folks. You know, a lot, I think we take music for granted. We really take music for granted. We like music, okay? Mm-hmm. We dance to music. We sing to music. But do we really know what it does for us? You know?
Yeah. I think many of us do, and many of us don't. But, you know, time will tell the story. The music bridges such gaps across all seas and all boundaries, you know?
Absolutely. That too. Absolutely. Music is universal. Quickly, I remember being in New York City and I was just graduating, from Morgan Stanley being a stockbroker. And I, you know me, I love going out singing, karaoke. Well, properly pronounced karaoke. Okay. We have Americanized the word and call it karaoke, but it's actually karaoke. And that's a jab.
A lot of us Americans can't do it. You're good, Will.
You know, and what's amazing about this, I had a chance, we went out, I was in New York, and I wanted to go out to this karaoke bar. And happened, it was half Japanese. Well, it was a Japanese-owned bar, but the patronage, let's talk about the patronage. It was half American people there that, you know, I guess they spoke English, but the other half was Japanese.
Okay.
And I remember this gentleman getting up, he was a Japanese gentleman, and he got up and sang. I couldn't understand a word that he said, but this brother could blow. The music sounded so good, right? So anyway, we're going to get into the story, man. We're talking about natural things and natural healing, natural abilities, and let's talk to something quite different, okay? We're going to talk about the opposite of that. Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, and Brother Demery, Dr. Demery, I know we talked about this before. Danny, I don't know whether you heard the programs we had over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we were speaking of artificial intelligence, and it is deeper than we realize here. And hopefully now Ann won't be with us today, and hopefully Dr. Sims will, and perhaps Mike Ward. But anyway, we've been talking about this thing over the last several weeks, and I'm going to play something for you guys. Then we're going to come back and we're going to comment on that. Okay. All right. Hold on. Let me see if I have my, engineer and grandson. He showed me how to do this earlier. Let's see if I can pull this off. I think, oh my goodness. Oh, okay. Got something else there. All right. Hold on 1 second. Let's do this. All right. Let's get back.
Volume on. Unmute.
Okay. No. Hold on 1 second. Let's see here. The volume. Okay. I'm going to get this thing. We're going to make this thing happen here in a second.
Well, artificial intelligence, the ability of the digital computer or computer-controlled robots to perform tasks commonly associated with the intelligent beings. Mm-hmm. The term is frequently applied to the project, you know, of developing systems endowed with intellectual processes, characteristics of humans, such as the ability to reason, discover meanings, generalize or learn from past experiences. Since the development of the digital computer in the 1940s, it has been demonstrated that computers can be programmed to carry out very complex tasks, as for example, discovering proof for mathematical theorem and playing chess with the great proficiency. You know, this artificial intelligence thing is a real thing.
It is. I think I might have it, gentlemen. Let's try it now.
Do your thing.
Here we go.
When I think of AI, most of my knowledge is from sci-fi movies of these robots that begin to think and grow and, you know, have thoughts like humans. What are we talking about here?
So there's a new technology called large language models. They were really invented in 2017. What these large language models do is, well, they learn to predict the next word of text on the entirety of the internet. You're like, well, how bad could that be? But what's surprising and what nobody foresaw is that just by learning to predict the next piece of text on the internet, these models are developing new capabilities that no one expected. So just by learning to predict the next character on the internet, it's learned how to play chess, it's learned how to do research-grade chemistry, it's learned how to do theory of mind. What is theory of mind? That means the ability to model what somebody else is thinking.
When you say learning, is it learning on its own or is someone teaching it? Because there's a difference.
It is learning on its own. So imagine you had a superpower, and that superpower was you could walk up to anyone speaking a language you don't understand, and just by listening to the sounds, like this sound comes after that sound, you could learn to like mimic, to pretend to speak their language. You could pretend to understand and speak, and suddenly, even though you don't understand what you're saying, they're responding to you as if you understood what they were saying. And that's what these machine models are learning how to do.
Does AI think for itself?
No, AI does not think for itself. It has the ability to mimic other people thinking, has the ability to mimic human emotions, to mimic human empathy, but it doesn't know what it's doing. It just knows how to do it.
This is moving very fast. I don't think a lot of us have really thought much about AI until, you know, perhaps late last year. What is happening in the development?
The models are getting bigger and they're getting more capable at a speed which even the engineers who are working on it honestly are in disbelief. So only 4 years ago, AIs were sort of barely able to do autocomplete, spit out the next word, create a sentence that even made sense. As of November of last year, with the launch of ChatGPT, it could write essays sort of at the level of a high schooler. It could play chess, but sort of poorly. As of just 1 week ago now, these AIs are able to pass the bar exam, get like top 90th percentile test scores on the SATs, pass medical exams.
How are we using artificial intelligence right now?
Well, I think people have heard about, you know, using AI for radiology to find cancers more effectively, or using AI to automate the license plate numbers when you drive through a toll booth. People are familiar with using AI to automate tasks in vision, in speech. Hey Siri, here's this transcription, and it tries to get it mostly right. But that was a different class of AI. The new class of AI are just taking in the entire internet and every image and every photo and every video that's ever been produced and sucking it into one large language model with an understanding of the world. That's new, right? Here, when you drive through a toll booth on a bridge in New York, it scans your license plate. That doesn't have a simultaneous world knowledge of everything that's ever been written and who Lester Holt is. The new AI is taking in a world understanding and building cumulatively to get smarter and smarter. And then having the ability to take that world knowledge to synthesize an answer to anyone's question. That is a different class of AI.
Is it still under the control of human beings? Do human beings ultimately control what it can and can't do?
Well, what's very surprising about these new technologies is that they have emergent capabilities that nobody asked for. So it's not as if you took electricity and increased the voltage and it gains the ability to answer questions in Persian, even though you only taught it how to answer questions in English. That's what this new AI does.
That's a real example. They taught it to answer questions in English. Separately, the AI had trained on some other things in Persian. It didn't know how to answer questions in Persian, but then they pumped it with more information and more data, and suddenly it spits out this new emergent capacity that the engineers didn't predict, which is it can answer questions in Persian. That wasn't true of electricity. That wasn't true of automobiles. That wasn't true of airplanes. This is a different class of technology. When you pump more information through it, it gains more capacities that the engineers who built it couldn't have predicted.
Is disinformation right up AI's alley?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the biggest problems with AI right now is that it hallucinates, that it speaks very confidently about any topic, and it's not clear when it is getting it right and when it is getting it wrong.
We have seen throughout history that technological advances can sometimes eliminate jobs, make jobs obsolete. Is it a given that AI will take us to a place where people will lose their jobs?
societies can absorb new technologies and move from being an agrarian or farming-based society to an industrial society. People move to factories. We've seen those transformations happen. Maybe that took place over, you know, a couple decades. What happens when suddenly you don't just go after one class of jobs, like farming, but you suddenly go after, you know, 50% of the jobs in your society, if not way more than that, and you instantly make them automated? And if that happens all at once in a year or a few days, that is a level of change that our society doesn't know how to reckon with. If that change comes too fast, then society kind of gets destabilized. So we're in this moment where we need to consciously adapt our institutions and our jobs for a post-AI world.
What do we want AI to do? What's our expectation?
Well, I think, you know, obviously what we want is AI that enriches our lives, AI that works for people, that works for human benefit, that is helping us cure cancer, that is helping us find climate solutions. We can do that. We can have AI in research labs that's applied to specific applications that does advance those areas. But when we're in an arms race to deploy AI to every human being on the planet as fast as possible with as little testing as possible, that's not an equation that's going to end well.
Wow. Gentlemen, okay, hold on one second.
Thanks for watching our YouTube channel.
That's a lot to take in.
Follow today's top stories and breaking news by downloading the NBC News app.
All right. Let's get rid of this right now. Man, I was trying to keep up with it. I saw this in its entirety earlier, and I just ran across it, okay? And it fits right into the description that you gave us, the article that you were reading from. And I want to start off with the both of you. Now, I got a text from Mike. Mike Ward, he's going to be joining us. He's going to join us shortly, right?
Okay.
Now, let's talk about some of the good things that AI can do for us, like detecting cancers or other diseases early. I think that's a good thing. I use AI, well, in the form of, some people don't like her, but Alexa, if I want her to turn on that device, to turn on a radio station, it'll go right there directly to my station based on my voice, or my demand, okay? I use it in my car, on my OnStar, you know, and I told Dr. Demery and I believe Ann and Dr. Sims, and probably even you, Danny, also, that moving back here after being gone for over three decades, I'm lost. You know, places change when you move away from your hometown or anywhere that you're accustomed to living or have lived before, and you go back 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later. Things change.
They're different.
Streets I don't recognize anymore, developments, areas that have been developed, and just crazy. And so there's some really good things that AI can do. But let's talk about, also I want to put in music too. I saw a video not too long ago where this gentleman put together a complete soundtrack or a record and using all artificial intelligence. I said, oh, you did it now. Okay, stop the presses. Don't mess with my music. I want to see an individual singing. I want to see an individual human being playing the guitar, playing the piano, playing the drums. I want to see groups. I don't want a robot singing to me. Okay, or artificial intelligence. And I can't rep my, maybe I'm way outdated. Somebody rein me in if you want. You can chat in the comments section here. We are on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Okay. Studio W Buzz, Buzz Jams. One of them will work. Type in Studio W Buzz and you'll get us. Okay. But also, Apple CarPlay, Google, Play. I'm a little worked up here. That's why I'm speaking rapidly. When I get worked up, I start speaking faster, right? But I'm going to slow it down just a little bit. So those are some of the good things. Danny, from your perspective, I want you to take up, because there was a lot in that interview that we just listened to and witnessed, right? I want you to take it anywhere you want. Start wherever you want. And I want the good, bad, and the ugly.
I think that the artificial intelligence, since its birth, you know, way back in the 50s up until now, has increased its ability to do so many different things, and even to the artificial intelligence being able to philosophize, do philosophical thought impressions, you know. So this is deep. The more information that this computer receives, the smarter it becomes. So every time it learns something, it's never going to forget it, because it's in a place within that computer's makeup that it ain't, if we, you know, sequential retrieval won't be necessary. And as you speak to these things, I mean, from philosophizing and from the intelligence part of it, especially in mathematics and different equations that should be able to help the health industry to solve many of the woes of cancer and diseases. Yes, AI is going to make those abilities more precise in a way. So it has a lot of good pros and cons, but, you know, sometimes in the movies, they always showing the boogeyman side of the whole situation, but we're talking about the beneficial ways for which artificial intelligence is going to launch us into deeper, more intelligence.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Dr. Demery, what did you take from that clip that we played? Hey, Mike, hey, welcome to the set. My main man, Mike Ward, also AKA Mad Mike. And if you guys ever check out, if you do, aren't doing anything Thursday, check us out on Thursdays, every Thursday. Mike, what time do we come on?
Whenever we feel like it.
That's about right. Check it out. Well, it's supposed to launch at 8:15 p.m. on, that's on the East Coast, 5:15 Pacific Standard Time, and that makes it, 7:15 Central Standard Time, okay? And we just play a host of music. I mean, we just practically all genres, as long as it's good music. And Mike, you missed out on the beginning. We were talking about music anyway and how music heals in the very beginning of the show. We were talking about natural things. Like I said the other day, I want to see a singer, a real singer. Okay. I want to see somebody playing the drums, playing the if I go to a concert. Okay. I don't want, however you feel, that's okay. Some people like strawberries, some people like chocolate, okay? That's your business. But for me, give me the person, the human being singing, and I do understand there are drum machines. That's okay. Okay, that they use incorporated into music and things of that nature. That's fine. But as far as the basic element, I want a human being doing it. Now, artificial intelligence is great and so many wonderful things. It's used in surgeries, okay? And there's so many things that you can get it more precise, you know? You don't have a nervous doctor holding a scalpel, okay? That machine can do, you know, things that are more precisely in a lot of cases. Like I said, I use my GPS. I love computers. Now, also, if you notice, if you try to text somebody something, or let's say you go to an email, and you start, the computers are designed now that you start spelling the word, and let's say you're going to spell the word, right. When you put in the R-I, the thing I'm going to say, it's going to finish it for you, right. Okay? So what I'm saying is, in a lot of cases, we have to be careful with this, because in many cases, it can be the dumbing down of society. Just like
Well, to a certain degree, William, that has already happened when we got cell phones. So, and when you say dummy and down of the society, but I don't think that the artificial intelligence will be, to that level. it was going to be to levels that take us higher and closer and more exact than what we do, right?
Well, I've got more to tell you about that. Ann sent me an article earlier tonight and earlier today. And what I'm going to do, because I'm going to let Mike in, Ann sent me an article that this AI can sketch what you're picturing from brain waves. Now, if you listen to that, if you listen again to that, a clip that I played earlier, and this gentleman was talking about how you can feed information to this thing. And it sounded like that this AI comes up with its own conclusion, you know, right, in many cases. And there, in that case, if it's not true, then this thing, if you're paying attention to it, can produce a false narrative. Now, how can that be used against us as a society? Well, we know that there's wars and rumors of wars and things like that around the world. There's something turmoil going on everywhere. Okay, we don't have to talk about what's going on with I was just lost a train of thought. What's the country? Ukraine. We don't have to talk about that. Look at other places that are in absolute turmoil. And so what I'm saying is, you take a dictatorship and they can use AI to manipulate their people. I heard a few years back that the next war will not be fought on major world war will not be fought hand to hand. It'd be cyber. I don't know how much truth goes into that. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day.
I mean,
Will
is already happening.
Yeah, that's why we're here to talk about it, because we will also talk about some other things. But I will let Mike jump in here. Mike, I'm all over the place with this, because to me, I think it's a bittersweet situation. I love AI for the good uses, but the evil and my problem is that getting in the hands of the wrong people, which it already is to a certain extent. Mike?
Yeah. First, let me say, hi to Daniel. Haven't seen you in a number of weeks. And Dr. Demery, it's very nice to see you. I hope you're doing very well.
Thank you. I'm doing fine.
Okay. Excellent, gentlemen. I'm glad you're here. William, are you off camera for a reason?
Yeah, because I was looking up something. And I didn't want the audience to see me reading. Okay, that's okay.
I just wondered maybe you didn't do your hair today or something.
Well, I didn't, but that's okay. I have a cap on.
Here's the scary part of what you just brought up, William. You said that they have machines that can look at your brain waves and draw a picture from your brain waves. Is that what you just said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so now it's not much of a bigger leap to say, well, if they can read that part of your mind, what happens when they get to the point in technology where they can read what you're thinking?
Well, okay, let me back up 1 second, Mike. This AI can sketch what you are picturing from brain waves.
Yeah.
Well, same thing, but if they're reading your brain waves, what? It's only a small step before they're able to read your brain waves to the point where now they know what you're thinking.
That's right.
And we'll take another step. You're saying that people, that governments could use AI to influence their people to think a certain way. What if they're able to actually put brainwaves into your head and electronically change how you think?
You know what?
Rather than just influence you with information, bad information, what if they're able to actually change your thoughts? Read your thoughts and change your thoughts. Because that's where we're going.
Mike, stay right there for a second. Something that hasn't been talked about in a while, but there was some conversation going on how employers and maybe even government agencies need to put chips inside of their employees. Computer chip. Okay?
Well, the government's been talking about that for years.
Okay. And I tell you what, and I don't have many fears, but one is that not for me so much, but say the younger generation, and it says, okay, if you want to work here, you're going to have to take the chip. Mm. Okay? Folks, we can't let it get to that point. And there's, it might take a while to get this happening because we know that we have a no-good Congress and a no-good Senate that aren't doing anything.
Around, absolutely.
That's exactly right. Like, right and left got their issues, and we're not going to get into that. We'll get into politics a little bit later on, but if you look at any polling...
Just real quickly, because Dr. Sims isn't here, on Dr. Sims' behalf, because I know that she has a very deep, well, I believe all of us do have a very deep belief in religion and right and wrong. But think about this chip that we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what's mentioned in the Bible about Mark of the Beast.
Whoa.
Is that chip the Mark of the Beast?
Yes. I hear what you're saying.
Danny, you want to expound on that?
Not so much in that, you know, we're talking that there will come a time when the money will be, you know, and in order to buy and trade and do different things, you will have to take the mark. Now, is the chip it? It sounds like a road to it.
Yep, because they certainly have the technology to do so. And see, this is the thing about it. And we all use it, to a certain degree in our lives. Your cars today, I mean, just think about it. Your navigation systems, the car itself, there's a computer in that car. Okay? There's a computer in that car. As a matter of fact, I can call, say my, insurance, agent, or I can call, say I need some diagnostics done on my car. I can call the manufacturers, whatever it is, and they can tell me exactly what's going on in my car, where I was, when I was, what happened to the car, what it did. Okay? The air in the tire goes down, say certain degrees, right? It's going to give me a warning sign. Okay? So it's a computer in that car. We talk about, the Tesla. Okay? Which I don't want one. You know, if someone gave me one, I'd sell it. I'm not going to say I wouldn't take it. I'd take one and sell it. So what? There are, 352 recalls on that for something, then another recall because the steering wheels were popping off. Okay. So, and self-driving? No, absolutely not. Are you going to trust that computer to drive? Now, are you going to trust the car to drive itself? Would any of the... Well, I'm telling you right now, my hand is up. I'm not going to do it. Okay, would the three of you get in the car and let the car do the driving, and you don't have any control at all?
Not right now. I'd rather not.
I agree with Danny. I believe at some point I would trust that, but I'd have to see it proven in function and form before I would go to that place.
Dr. Demery?
Well, I want to say this. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, fine.
I want to say that because part of my dissertation was dealing with spirituality, which is a different side of religion. Religion is just something that man has made up to figure out a way to worship. But when you think of the spiritual aspect behind this whole concept, it frightens me. I don't know about you guys, but it frightens me, and I am very afraid of it because it can go a place that I think science is not ready or capable or able to control it, because once it takes, I mean, for example, this is an extreme end of it. Look at the movie Terminator, how the computer took over the whole world. And that's part of artificial intelligence. And I am very frightened of it because anytime anything can tap into the old noodle up here, it's very frightening to me because you talk about reading people's mind, reading people's thoughts, anticipating what someone might be saying, that is very frightening. And so the one thing that AI cannot do, it cannot predict where you are spiritually because it doesn't have a spiritual concept. Why? Because it cannot and it will not. Mark my words on this. This is 2023. It does not possess a soul. And that's the difference between humans and non-humans. This is a non-human entity. This is a non-human essence. So it will get to the point where it can do many miraculous things up to a point. But when you get to the human aspect, where you get between the soul and the humanity side of it, it ceases to be able to compute, because it can't compute the soul, because the soul comes from the maker. And we believe that the maker is, most people believe that it is God. And God is the one that possesses our soul, where our soul comes from. And before you even get into Revelations and Daniel and, you know, the Mark of the Beast and all that kind of stuff, because that is an incorporation part of this. The element behind this that frightens me the most is that it attempts to, and I think it will at some point, attack the humanity of humankind. And that is very frightening to me. It really disturbs me terribly. And like you said, William, earlier, I know I'm probably, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, because I'm not a right winger. You know, William, and most of you know, I'm middle to the left rather than middle to the right. But on this concept, I probably went middle to the right in the fact that, you know, being old fashioned, I guess maybe in a sense, William, like you were commenting on a minute ago, is that it is very frightening of where this thing can go and what it can do in terms of tapping into our humanity and tapping into our psyche, because the Greek word for psyche is psuche, and nothing can tap into the psyche or the psuche unless you want it to be there. And that's the whole thing. That's what people don't understand about the power of evil. I mean, evil cannot take you over unless you allow it to, you know. Satan can't control you unless you allow Satan to, or being deeply influenced by it. So I'll stop there, William, but that's my comment.
Okay. Hey, no problem. No issue at all on that. Dr. Sims, how are you?
I am so sorry. Hi, everybody. Oh, hi. The cats is here. All right. I fell asleep, y'all. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Well, you told me that many times when you writing or something like that, you don't go to bed till late.
And that's what happened. I didn't get to sleep until like 6 a.m. this morning, and I was up about 9 and then had my breakfast and did a little piddling around here. And I said, well, I'll sit. And I got dressed really early. And I says, okay, I'll just sit here and just chill for a minute. And you know that, listen, I just heard something on TV because it was watching me. And I heard, I guess I was watching Cheaters or something like that. And she was screaming. I'm like, what the heck? And so I'm like, oh, gosh. So, but good to see everybody. Hi. And new strangers. There's Dr. Demery. Hello, stranger. And Tisdale. Strangers.
Sorry for that.
Hi, Mike.
I'm just strange.
I know. I wasn't going to say that, but you did, okay? Hello.
Oh, my God. I know you have a lot to say. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to, because Ann sent me this article, and she said, and she asked, I'm going to try now, hey, Dr. Demery, I'm going to try not to read the entire thing. You know how Ann likes to read. Okay. And I know you're going to tell her too, Dr. Sim. I know you are. That's okay. I don't care. All right. But anyway, let's do this.
Real bad when she's not here. You just wait.
Anyway. Wow. This Zi Zhao Chen can read your mind. I guess Zi Zhao Chen is the machine, this AI, artificial intelligence we're talking about. Let me start at the top. From brainwaves, this AI, I'm repeating it, can sketch what you are picturing. Researchers, now check this out, folks, around the world are training AI to recreate images seen by humans using only their brain waves. Experts say the technology is still in its infancy, but it heralds a new brain analysis industry. And I'm going to read a little bit more, and then Dr. Sims, I want you to come on in. I know you're going to come in with some fire, okay? So Go on, get heated up. It's all right. Okay. Chin, a doctoral student at the National University of Singapore is part of a team of researchers that has shown they can decode human brain scans to tell what a person is picturing in their mind, according to a paper released in November. Their team made up of researchers from the National University of Singapore, the Chinese University of Hong Kong, and Stanford University. Okay? Stanford happens to be here, folks, in California. Last time I checked, did this by using scans of participants as they looked at more than 1,000 pictures. A red fire truck, a gray building, a giraffe eating leaves while inside a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine. Okay, or fMRI, which recorded the resulting brain signals over time. The researchers then sent those signals through an AI model to train it to associate certain brain patterns with certain images. I'm going to stop right there for a second, and I'm going to get back to the panel, and I'm going to start over with you, Dr. Sims. What do you take on what I just read?
Well, I think it's scary. It's very scary because in light of what's going on and all the mistakes they've made thus far, I know they're doing their research, and I don't know all the ramifications of that very thing that you just read, but it's kind of scary because, and I know we talked about it last Sunday, everything is being digitized, everything, to the point where, and I was just sharing this with my daughter, I said, everything is being artificial intelligence, everything. To the point where you basically don't have to do too much of anything, but just be there. But as far as the brain cells in one's brain, William, I don't care how many people they do all this research on, they still don't have God's business, okay? They still don't know God's business. They think they know, and a lot of this stuff that they're doing, and you, let's just take it where it lays, for control, and it's scary. They want to control men's minds, women, all children. The things that they're doing right now, I heard something on in an advertisement that stressed that they've been doing things right in our faces, and we're not even aware that they've mm-hmm. done them. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of scary. And I'm not talking about last year or the year prior to that, but they've been doing this stuff. Oh, goodness, since I was a young girl, and you know my age. So they've been messing
with us. Well, we definitely know that.
You know what, Dr. Henry? I'm going to be nice to you, but I ain't fucking nice, okay? You're talking about somebody's age. You better hush. They say take one to know one. I know you miss me. Come on.
You love better you, darling. Prepare. I love you. I love you.
Okay,
love you,
wait a minute. I love you too. I'm going to reach you this artificial intelligence right here and grab it.
Hey, she's going to choke him.
Love is what she's going to do.
No, it's the way things are going. They started many, many years ago. And I think I said this too on my other show, that they've doing things right in front of our faces, and they've been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is they desensitize the human brain to really face reality as it is, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because the stuff that they fed us and says, my thing is it live or Memorex? Okay, so a lot of times people can't decipher the difference because we've been fed some things. The thing, what I'm trying to say is, while they're making these computerized for artificial intelligence, they've been taking our intelligence. Okay, that's a lesson right there.
Yeah,
they've
right.
been taking the intelligence of man. And what I mean man, woman, boy, child, whatever. and they've been making us rely on stuff, okay, on computers, on whatever. I mean, we could, like, we're seeing each other now. We're from different states, right? They didn't have this before. They didn't have this where I can see, have a phone chat and see the face of a loved one. We just had to use the rotary phone, right?
And hear mm-hmm.
the
voice. Mm-hmm.
But like you said, people think that we're right there in the studio, but we're miles away, many miles away, you see. And so it's what a person wants to believe. Now they can't even figure out, and I'm going to go here, how a sperm meets an egg. They still trying to figure that out. I don't care if they say they got it figured out, they're lying, because the expertise of God in that area, it passes the mind, and the mind cannot comprehend God, even though they try to, because they want to be God. They like that control. And I heard Dr. Demery say about the devil, you know, that's my wheelhouse. He's so busy trying to be God, he forgot that he already eternally lost. This is what get me, is that he wants to put us all in the trip bag, and we are falling for it. We are literally falling for it.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my daughter, I had them laughing, and I may get off a little bit, and I wish Ann was on here. I was going to talk about the food, the GMO, and all this kind of stuff, William. Who's that? Bill Gates bought up a lot of farmland, and he's developed some kind of seed to target and a particular race to wipe them out. Well, this genetically modified stuff, organisms, that all has to do with a artificial intelligence that is changing the structure of the body, okay? Changing the structure of the mind. And I'm like, everything they said was bad for me to eat, they got it on their tables now. Okay, I see that. Yeah, I did. Hello. Everything that they say was detriment to me as this ethnic group, they're eating it, and I can't find it hardly nowhere in the stores. Does that make sense? And I got to eat lettuce and carrots. I don't think so, okay?
They're telling you that it's for the greater good, so they're trying to convince you, they're gaslighting you, going, this is all for the good. No, that's not what's happening. Look over here. Don't look over there.
I told my daughter I'm putting beans, greens, ham hocks, everything back on my plate. Because let me tell you something. My children were raised.
There's a song about that too. I forgot who wrote it.
I know Shirley Caesar sung it. I know it. And she named all of that. But my thing is, when we were reflecting, she said, Mommy, we were hardly ever sick, because my children, I did what I knew. Now, we didn't have all this artificial stuff. I didn't like the puree foods that they had in the stores because they were yucky, okay? So what I did, I went primitive. I wasn't caught up in that stuff. I chewed my children's food in my mouth and gave it to them. And they were very, very healthy. I had somebody say, oh, my God. I said, well, you wouldn't have made it back in the cave days, baby, and your children would have died, okay? Period. But I'm saying that you see how dispensations of time, they upgraded, until they took the natural things away from us. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, I tell you, you said a whole lot. There's a lot to unpackage there. But now let's talk about this for a second.
Yes.
Because you mentioned artificial intelligence with the GMOs, the genetically modified organisms. Yep. I understand that. And that is so true. But what happens is, I look at it, I'm not disagreeing, but I look at it in a different way also, and that is, there has been certain sects of our human race that really and advocates for, if you like Mike said, don't look over here, look over here, this is what they try to do. I believe that they are advocates for population reduction. I really believe that. I'm going to tell you why. Because if you weren't, then you could do something about the people that are starving out here. And they have no fault of their own. Okay? You think about this. Think about the tornadoes that went through Mississippi and Alabama. Was it Alabama the last couple of days or so?
Yes.
Did you guys look at the images what that was displayed on TV? There's nothing. Mm-mm. There's nothing. It tore apart. That thing went up. Those winds got up to 200 miles per hour. Okay. Now, does it have anything to do with artificial intelligence? No, probably not. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Okay. But point is, though, what help or assistance are we going to give that community? And look how many communities around the country right now that are going through major, major weather changes, hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, and Mike and I, and the rest of you cats were, Dr. Sims was, we were on when they had that major, major snowstorm in Southern California, up there in the, was that in Big Bear, Mike? And did it, oh, went all the way down from Crestline, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah, Big Bear, Crestline, Arrowhead, Blue Jay, all of that had snow that was above rooftop. I mean, people were literally encased in snow. And we had, I don't know how many, I don't know what the death toll is now, but it was way larger than it should have been. I mean, it was in the teens and twenties.
Yeah. And you guys, Danny, you live there. Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims and Mike, you guys still live there. When has that ever happened in Southern California?
It had, William, let's just put it up.
If I can say this.
In Los Angeles.
They had a tornado in Montebello.
When?
Yes.
Just a few days
yes,
ago.
Yes, it was Montebello.
Whew. Yep.
But there was no ramification that a tornado was coming. And just hear us out, because even and I pay attention to my surroundings, because people are not a fool. They're not living in darkness as far as the chemtrails and things like that and how it affects. How come you fly in the planes at when it's pouring down rain? It has been said that they want whatever chemicals they're putting out there, they want it to attach itself to the rain to get on the vegetation, to get on the food, to get on the ground. Like I said, William, I could go out there any time before all this craziness and not my allergies would not come up like this. I come in and I'm like I'm in a war zone. My eyes are burning. Or you think I've been drinking about 4 or 5 weeks. I'm just being honest. It sounds comical.
And you don't drink.
No, I don't. Yeah. And it sounds comical. And I'm sitting there and with just the interaction, just going to get my mail and stuff like that and come in for a minute. And then before I go to sleep, my eyes are glued together. That sounds weird. And I don't have a cold, okay? My thing is this, is that we have to face reality. You said something about the women and the men, the reduction. Yeah, they're reducing the men because a lot of them got, uh-oh, all right. A lot of them are walking around acting like me now, okay? Uh-oh. I said, is it in the water? Is it in the food? Are they reducing the testosterone? Stop laughing, Mike. It's real talk to you. Every time I turn around, are you real or you not?
Dr. Sims, I'm not laughing yet. Actually, I agree with you, because a lot of foods that we now consume that we didn't used to consume back when you and I were
yes.
young, a lot of the soy products, soybeans and stuff, a lot of food products are made from soy. And soy has a lot of estrogen in it.
What's putting in when
men consume all these soy products,
come on.
And all of us on this panel, we all know what soy is, right? It's prevalent in our society, in our food products. And because of that, there's an influx of estrogen into the male body, the male form. And I think that's part of this, the GMO, and getting us to eat certain foods and gaslighting us. Oh, but it's good for you. Soy's very high in protein and has no fat. And it's beneficial for you. Go, go, go. This is great. Just eat more soy. Soy products. I'm with Dr. Sims. I'm not laughing at you, Dr. Sims. I'm laughing because it's real.
Yeah, I was messing with you. And the reason why I say that, because there's some, and I said, I was said, is it in the water? Is it in the food? Who can I trust? Because you have women who are more masculine these days. It is unreal. So it's changing to me. It's changing the dynamics too rapidly. But again, And we know that we know where all this comes from, who's the orchestrator of it. However, the people have to sit down and face reality. That's why I had you all laughing. I said, I've changed my prayer and what I eat because the things that they're putting in our food is attaching itself to our DNA structure, should I say, getting in the bloodstream. It's getting in your organs. It's attaching itself to various things in your head, and it's getting in your eyes. It's getting everywhere. Whatever cause and effect they want to happen, they will substitute something that was healthy for us. Now it's more damaging to us. So now I pray, and people laugh, and I tell my children, I'm praying for all of you, because my thing is whatever I eat, God, don't allow the lead substances, whatever they're putting in, to affect and destroy my body. If you notice, and I read something, I can't remember, and I have to remember, I read something that they're putting things to cause age rapidly. They're speeding up the age process because people are living longer, okay? They're tainting a certain, you said it, Mike, they're tainting a certain food product substance that we have to have, okay? And so a lot of these vitamins, my son was telling mom, he said, you don't know what are in these capsules and things like that. We're really at the hands of these people who are causing these kinds of effects on people. So guess what? I really don't trust anything hardly anymore because they are wanting, and you said population control. So what better way than to speed up aging, putting products in our body to cause us to get ill.
And die.
These shots, I got about 15 million COVID shots, okay, and 42 million boosters right behind that, and then pills on top of that. Well, come on now. Come on. Come on. Really? Really? All of a sudden, and then they naming other names now. They got one that's a fungal virus out. Who's doing this stuff? Who's creating these mind turmoil? And when you get a person in depression, when you get a person living an uncertain life kind of mindset, then guess what? It affects the body when you cause that kind of pressure on an individual, the uncertainty. That's why the mental health is going sky high, okay, as far as people being unstable these days because of what's going on. We don't know who to trust but God. It is what it is, period.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we're going to get, in the next few weeks or so, we're going to get to the mental health aspect of all of this. And all of this, and we need to look at this holistically, folks, because just like you brought up, Dr. Sims, you talk about how the GMOs, okay? And that's the food that we're putting in our bodies, right? And so right now, we turn on the TV, and if there's a soup commercial, you said Campbell's, okay? If there's a commercial about soft drinks, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, obviously, you know, and it's the advertising. So what I'm saying to you, that's why they call these things programs, and that's why they call them commercials. A program is designed to get you to think a certain way or to like something. Just like this is a program, okay? Guys, we hope you like the discussion because, hey, everybody is free to say however they think on this network as long as it's, and I have no qualms about this or any of my other hosts, but we try to make it a family-friendly show where your two-year-old can listen to it and gain something out of it. Your 90-year-old grandma, you know, can listen to it and get something out of it. So, we want to bring healthy conversations. So again, let's look at this holistically. You talked about the foods that we put in our bodies. And it's the same thing. You're so right, Dr. Sim. Now, we wouldn't, if we had some poison for whatever reason, red poison or whatever you got, you know, if you have that, we wouldn't ingest that, would we? We would not ingest that. Okay? We wouldn't do that. But some of the foods are, I'm not saying to the level of poison right now, but it could be a gradual thing, what we're putting in our bodies, right? Where I'm getting so much, I'm getting a little bit of this every day. I'm getting a little bit of this every day. I'm getting a little bit of this every day. And then, and it catches up to us. Again, holistically speaking, what are we putting in our minds? This is what I'm really getting to, because with the artificial intelligence, we all agree it has some magnificent uses. And it also, in the hands of the wrong people or governments, let's talk about this right now, or companies or whatever it is, how harmful it is. TikTok right now is on the verge of, well, it could possibly, I don't know what's going to happen with that. You guys, if you saw a couple of days ago, CEO, president of TikTok, or CEO, especially, I don't know what he in charge of the entire company, I believe he is, he had to go up on Capitol Hill and meet with Congress this week.
Yeah.
Okay? Indeed. And they grilled him for 5+ hours. And they were considering banning the whole entire program. I mean, it just banning it throughout the United States. Now, in many governmental agencies around the country, they've already banned it for governmental use. You cannot use it on a governmental device. But there's 150 million people, United States citizens, that are using TikTok. So if they banned it, what are the ramifications? Now, before I ask that, or let's go back, what if they did ban it, okay? What implications would that have on people who are making money off of it? You have a lot of people. Now, this is their full-time job. This is their livelihood. Some are real stupid. They hold stuff, you know, some is crazy. But it seems like to me in this world today that the crazier ones make the money. And
I think I have an answer for you. I think Lee might have an answer.
Please, I want you to jump in right after this. So, however, what they're saying, what Congress is saying, you are using that. I believe that the parent company is ByteDance, who owns TikTok. Okay? And they're saying that they are feeding information to the Chinese government to spy on Americans. Okay? So that is artificial intelligence, folks. Should TikTok be banned? Is it good? Is it bad? You're going to have a whole bunch of, now if you ban it, you're going to have a whole bunch of disappointed people over here in the United States. And someone will probably stupidly say, I'll take the risk. Okay, just let me make my money. Mike, let's start with you, my friend.
Well, I think what's going to happen is, let me start with TikTok. First, I think they should be banned because you're giving the Chinese total and complete access to very personal and private information here in the United States. So first, me speaking, my personal opinion, I would get TikTok out of everything. I would ban it. I'm not for banning things because of free speech, but I mean, at some point, you know, you have to tell your kid not to shove the fork in the light socket. You know, you have to protect people to some degree.
Absolutely.
So I would get the Chinese government out of our business. Second, what I believe would happen, because Americans are very resilient, I believe what would happen if you shut down TikTok, there's so many other avenues. When you shut one door, many other doors will open.
Bingo.
So they will go to a different form of social media. And there's already so many other forms of social media already there and available. It's not like TikTok is the only social media out there. So I believe that other venues here in the United States would open up, and people that did their silliness on TikTok would now be on BlockTok or something. Who knows? But yeah, they'll create a whole nother system. I mean, remember back when we had, what was it, MySpace?
Uh-huh.
Is that where the original was? You know, that fell by the wayside, and other doors opened. So I think what will happen, if you shut that door, a lot of other doors will open up, because again, it's all about money, and people will find a way to bypass TikTok completely and find another way to make money.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
I got a rebuttal. Can I just?
Let me ask Mike a question first.
Okay.